Saludos, la verdad, listeners. This is UndocuTalks, the podcast by immigrant youth for immigrant youth, where we discuss topics around immigration through the lenses of news, education, and culture. The revolution is here! We invite you to listen to our podcast on all major podcasting outlets. We also invite you to follow us on social media, including Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at UndocuTalks.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast. Bueno, mi gente, welcome back to another episode of La Verdad Podcast. This is your host, Christian.
And this is the one and only V-Fig. He actually made fun of me for doing that. So now I had to think of a new, like, way to introduce myself.
I think in a podcast a long time ago, maybe like last year or something, we had talked about how we were practicing before the actual podcast on how to say it. And then, like, she would get it wrong the whole time. We're like, damn.
I would, like, come in too early, and it was just really awkward. But now I have to think of a new way, because now it's stupid. I feel dumb.
Really? Why?
The one and only.
I like it. It's cool. I always say,
I don't know any other V-figs. So
you are the one and only.
I know, but I'm going to fix it.
But how have you been, man?
I've been good. I think the last time we talked about my promotion, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Ooh, so, I'm into it. It's been, a little over a month now. So, I'm good. Things are going well.
It's definitely busier, I feel, but
because it comes with it, right? Yeah, I can no longer, like, address my phone anymore. So, if anybody's texting me, good luck getting a response in a timely manner.
Yeah, kind of like email and phone and all that stuff.
That's the best way. If you need to get a hold of me, email me at work. Because otherwise, I'm not paying attention to anything else.
So. I just got back also from a work trip. Big shout out to everybody watching the show. I found out a lot of coworkers watch the show now, so I gotta watch what I say. But big shout out to everybody there. I won't say where I work, but they know who they are. Yeah. So it was weird getting back into the groove of things. I didn't travel for about like 2 months, and I usually travel almost like every other week or
like once a month, right?
Yeah, about 2 weeks out of the month.
Okay.
So I was packing my stuff, and I was like, damn, like, I'm missing a sock or what? And I got there, and somehow I packed up your socks. Okay. Yo, like, I was putting in. So I'm like, no. It's the socks that you wear that go all the way to, like, your knees. You bought them for a birthday party, for my daughter's birthday party. So they look cool because they're, like, gray, and they have, like, these, like, I like to wear cool socks, right? So, I saw them. I was like, oh, these are cool. I thought somebody gave them to me for Christmas. So I go, I'm in the hotel, and I like to match, you know, my shirt matches my socks or whatever. So I'm like, cool. I have the gray ones. I put them on, and, like, they feel weird, first of all. They're, like, real, like, silky or, like, I don't know, like, real thin, right? Not regular socks.
You sure they're gray?
Yeah, they have, like, stars. You bought them for my daughter's
pajama. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember.
So I put them up, and, like, they keep going up, and they keep going up. Like, damn, these things are really, really high up. They got all the way up to, like, my knees. And I'm like, oh, these are V-Figs socks, man. I thought you meant,
because we do have, like, a bunch of black socks.
So I have to wear the same sock twice. So, you know, kind of sucks. Because I forgot. I always bring enough for just. So I think I'm just going to start packing one extra one.
But oh, God.
That was kind of funny. I forgot to text you about it.
So now they're stretched out and I can't really use
them. No, you can use them. I only put one. Maybe the left one is probably stretched out. But
okay, so I'm going to have one stretched out sock and not the other.
So for those tuning into the podcast, go ahead and subscribe to this channel. I always like to get that over in the front. So in the beginning of the podcast. Also, we are promoting a good friend of ours. He has a podcast called UndocuTalks. He's been doing it actually for almost a year now. He came in the show a long time ago. This is when we used to do the one-on-one episodes where he was actually over the phone and we record it.
Mm-hmm.
He is a professor over in, I think it's University of New Mexico. I'll put more information about that podcast in the description of this podcast because I would definitely want to work with him. they're going to work with us and kind of just support each other, because they have a couple of topics that we don't really touch upon because we don't know too much about it. Mm-hmm. And they touch upon immigration heavily, undocumented, how to get stuff done, how to, you know, go to school and all that, and what the current status is of immigration. So check them out on your favorite podcast app as UndocuTalks. You'll find them definitely anywhere there. So also, like us, share us on social media. Our intern Keisha has been doing a great job getting the social media game all.
She's like, I have this idea, I had that idea, and we're going to do this, and then I have this, and so, we're going to do that. It's great.
So be on the lookout for a couple of things. We're going to be trying restaurants. We're going to be trying dance classes, doing all these cool things. So be on the lookout for that, because today's our first field trip that we're going to be doing, as Keisha calls it, right? The LV field trip.
I think the goal is to, like, really show who we are, like, be off the mic. Like,
plus you get to eat.
Yeah, right?
You get to dance. Ooh, you get to do everything. So
this field trip?
and also, so. Without further ado, you might be hearing a voice. It's not censored completely, but we're going to censor it now. We have with us a current blogger. You might have heard of her around the same kind of community that we've been interviewing lately in the podcast. We have Felicia Hernandez with us today. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for coming by the podcast.
Thanks and for having me.
Being in the neighborhood. Are you from this area?
Yeah, so I actually grew up around Humble Park. That's where I grew up. I'm now living all the way up north in Lakeview, but still, you know.
How was the traffic?
So I was actually coming from downtown, had like a little boat party event with the friends by the Riverwalk, so it wasn't too bad. It's like the 66 Pulaski.
Nice. Uber, so you already had a busy start to your day, huh? Like, I'm barely starting my day.
Early, bro. I'm barely starting my day.
You know, the reason I asked, like,
breakfast sandwich 20 minutes ago.
The reason I asked, like, if you're familiar with the area, is we've had people like David Gloria, who was here for Next Gen Latinx. He came from Joliet. It's like a lot of people from all over the city. And I like to give our listeners an idea of where some of our guests are from.
Yeah.
Because Chicago is so big. It's so small and so big in certain aspects, right? So, like, when you say Lakeview, if you look at it in a map, it looks really close. But coming here because of the traffic can take forever. Yeah. So you're a blogger, right?
Yes.
What would you consider yourself? Mostly just a blogger, or do you have any other hats that you wear in the community?
Definitely. So I'm starting to become very involved. I will say that, you know, with life and full-time job, working a full-time job, trying to work on your dream simultaneously, you know, it can get extremely overwhelming. So I dance bomba. I'm in a dance group called Africaribe. So I dance. I work as a health educator in Lakeview. So it's like a large LGBTQ center. So that's, you know, living in Lakeview, working up there, but grew up in the Humble Park area. So I still try to be as involved as I can. Again, it's hard
when you're
working full time and trying to simultaneously pursue your dreams. But most recently, I've been giving heart and soul to the blog, Go to Dita's Way. So.
Awesome. And we're going to talk more about the blog and your idea behind it and your passion behind it. For those that were listening to the podcast a couple episodes ago, we had Tito, who is part of Africaribe as well. So that actually, I like to give also our listeners an idea of how it goes together, right?
So
if they want to find out more information about Africaribe, definitely check out Tito's podcast. That was an awesome.
That was a really good
episode. It was very history awesome. Led.
I love Tito.
So let's talk about your blog, right? So you've been doing the blog for how long?
So I started December 1st, to be exact. That's when I had my final, you know, first blog publicized. So it's been an ongoing process. I can't believe it's already been like more than 6 months. I mean, I had these ideas that started very much like fitness focused, and in the basically it shows the intersections that you could have the love for food, which is very relevant in, you know, Latinx and Latino culture, and the love for fitness, even though society tells you, you know, it's one or the other. You can't,
that's,
you know,
true,
be all in with food and be in the gym. It's counterproductive. But my whole blog was to say that all of that is bullshit, you know. It's basically to deconstruct diet culture, but speaking about it from like a Latina perspective. So that whole contradiction in our family that exists, where it's like, mira, no te pone tan gordita, no come tanto, pero toma. So I kind of talk about that. My first blog that I ever wrote was called The Dichotomy of Latino Diet Culture. So in order to let the audience, you know, in on kind of my relationship with food and how I am addicted. I love it. I got no shame, you know, and I'm coming to love that about myself. But yeah. I can also be addicted to fitness, you know, as a Latino person, you know, we love food. Like, it's amazing.
That's why she's like, where are we going on this field trip? Can I go too?
Exactly.
It's funny because we've had those conversations with a couple different guests. We had Urban Pilon, who was my boy Berto. Mm-hmm. We've had Sol Boricua.
Oh, that's
who
right.
Who does like the have you heard of Sor Boricua? They do mostly the sofrito now in Whole Foods.
Yeah, in Inglewood.
Yeah, Inglewood, yeah. Based in Inglewood. So we've had these discussions with different people that have come to the podcast about specifically Latino foods, but specifically like Puerto Rican food, right? Because that's what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly you could think the same way of Mexican food or any Latin American food is that it's a lot of times it was thought of as very unhealthy, right? So you have like your pernil, right? For us, everything's fried. But with talking to people like Urban Pilon and Sol Boricua, we figured out ways to have like healthier options, right? And
there are always alternatives.
You know, you don't have to eat pork all the time. You know, you have different dishes out there that perhaps are not sold at all the Puerto Rican restaurants.
Right.
But my thing, I love cooking, so my passion is understanding these new recipes to kind of get a healthier perspective. So it's funny that you mentioned that because it is, now that you mention it, it is kind of true that a lot of our family members will say like, oh, mira, come, and then they'll be like, no, yeah.
But those chichos are hanging out over there.
They just gave you like three big plates of arroz con gandule and pernil.
Gained 2 pounds and they noticed.
Yeah. Especially in the holidays, it's like so much food. So your first blog entry.
Yes.
You talk about like the fitness and food perspective. Was that always your goal behind the podcast? I mean, the blog, or was it kind of like just a piece of it?
It was kind of the goal in the beginning. Like I wanted to, you know, which I still do want to deconstruct diet culture and talk about, you know, the love for Latinos and family. However, it has grown and, you know, just through experiences, through navigating through like, you know, connecting with local creatives and other, you know, Latinx and other groups. It's right now I'm focused on mental health in the Latinx community. So it has really evolved into like a lot of different things.
And that's another, that's a huge.
Man, that's a big one too.
Yeah. It's something that I, you know, I still struggle with, you know, putting to words. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, we don't talk about
that.
You know,
it's
mental
hard.
Health disorders, well, you know. No, you're strong. It's almost worth it.
Right.
Oh, they have the changueria, you know, like, you know, whenever. I feel like mental health has played a big role in what we do here in the podcast.
Absolutely.
I like to always bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
I like to always talk about it. I've had hard points in my life where I didn't have a place to go and listen to that was meant more to me, you know, like more of the Latino experience
that you could identify with.
Yeah, exactly. Those words. So I think it's very powerful, very important for us as content creators to also educate our people on what's happening and where to go or what resources are out there for them. The mental health aspect, especially as a content creator, I'm sure you know, is that it is hard.
It is hard.
Very hard. So your focus on the mental health aspect, is it finding like solutions or just you talking about what you're going through?
So it's more so like finding solutions. So I would say I spoke on it very lightly. I'm digging deep. Actually, this coming Monday is when I'll be, you know, posting more deep issues. But I want to make it more like kind of interview style. So I reached out to an Instagram group that's called Therapy for Latinx. And they literally have like Latino behavioral health therapists like killing it on social media. Wow. So I was like, hello, you know, DM.
And that's the beauty of social media is that we can connect.
It's all these people.
And take a little from this, a little from that, and then you share some stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest, that's one of the reasons why we brought you onto the show is because I feel like it's a way for us to feed off of each other, right?
Absolutely.
Especially, we're talking about mental health, right? So there's a lot of times where I get burnt out.
Overwhelmed.
Right? So tired. But when I see somebody that's doing something like yourself or another podcast group or another content creator, it's like, oh, damn, I want to do what they're doing. I saw that you were doing on your blog that you visited different countries and you're doing you know, you kind of like highlighted what they were doing, the dance, you're really mm-hmm. into the dance. So like that Ooh. Gave me a little bit of fire, right? To be like, oh shit, like we should do this too. And, yeah. and talk a little bit more about it. So you're doing the mental health. You talked about the dieting and the and exercise in your blog. Mm-hmm. I saw that you're also doing a lot of traveling. So is that part of
Tell
your
us
blog?
About all your travels, please.
Yeah. Oh, where do I start? I don't know.
Was that always part of the blog, or was it just kind of like
went? Was not actually. Okay. Like, of course, I want people to be focused on, like, you know, my life and what I'm doing and mm-hmm. trying to motivate people, you know, yeah. to keep it moving. And, you know, part of that is like, you know, if you like to travel, I try to help my people Google flights.
Yeah.
very, they will send you, you know, they will try to give you the cheapest routes. But
wait,
you know,
say that one
Google
more
time. Can flights. We write this down?
So flights, you go there.
Google flights. And if you are able to be flexible with dates, like if you work for yourself, sometimes mm-hmm. when you work for a company, it could be kind of difficult.
Yeah.
But it tends to give you the cheapest price. From my experience, there's Travelocity, cheapairfare.com. Yeah.
Like, she's all promoting all these people.
I don't like travel expensively. Right. Like people might think
but
that.
But you like but to travel a
I
lot.
I do. It's a big part of, yeah.
And mental so as we self-care. Were talking,
that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So yeah. the travel was just part of you, and then you just decided to put it more into the blog.
Yeah,
or?
I figure I could definitely like interconnect it mm-hmm. with, you know, being, you know, physical activities and like mental health, and you know, I also want to show young people, especially young people from the neighborhood I grew up in, Humble Park, like you can do this. I promise yeah. you can stay in hostels. You don't have to stay in no 5-star hotels. I mean, if you got it like that, that's cool, you know. But I think there's a lot of adventure and a lot of, you know, risk taking and doing mm-hmm. something that's uncomfortable. And yeah, first time I did it, I'll never regret it. Went by myself.
Wow.
Where'd you
I
go?
I was just gonna talk about that.
Yeah, I went to Spain and Germany. But okay. if
by
I could,
yourself?
Yeah, by Dang. Myself. I had a friend in Germany, but Spain, I didn't know anybody.
See, that's like a fear of mine, right? So I travel, like I said, right? I travel mm-hmm. a lot for work, but I have a point A and a point B that I have to be at.
That's like local travel.
Yeah, I'm
that's
like,
kind of nice.
But like, it's to me, I'm like more. It's more scary to like. Or that thought of going on a vacation by yourself. I know V-Fig and I talk about it a lot. She's down for it. But I'm like, damn, like knowing me, I would like stay in the hotel, watch TV all day and like never go
I'll
out.
I'll help you do it.
Yeah, it's like,
I got you. Tell me the places. We'll look at it together.
So your idea of traveling a lot, you like doing that and like, how do you go about it? Like,
well,
give me
tell us about that trip, the Germany.
Yeah, so basically, I was going through a really hard time. So I, just to give you a little background on the mm-hmm. fitness journey, I lost like anywhere between 30 to 40 pounds because I fluctuate, but lost mm-hmm. a significant amount of weight just because of college, you know, getting comfortable, being in a relationship, and then, you know,
don't tell me.
becoming single, you know, yeah. independent, you know, started working. Yeah. I got into fitness, became kind of a hobby, but then it became a lot more important than that.
Yeah.
So, I was going through a really hard time. I wasn't happy with my job at the time. Mm-hmm. I was hustling because I was preparing for this trip. So okay. I was working as a case manager, in Humble Park actually, and I was also a hostess, so I was saving up my dollars, working like six days a week. I'm like, I'm gonna go on this trip. So I planned it because since I was going by myself, I was scared. So I did like 5 weeks, stayed with a friend in Germany, and then Spain completely by myself, stayed in hostels, planned it ahead of time, booked Airbnbs, like, because it was my first time, I didn't want to just play it by ear.
Right.
I did
right.
do some planning, figured out where I was gonna stay, and then just booked my
I like that so much. I like the staying in hostel part.
No.
I did Airbnb. I've done both. I could tell you what not to do. I've done.
So do you like Airbnb better than hostels, or are you like more?
It just depends what you're looking for. Like, I would say if you're looking to meet different people, you know, and like, say you're going somewhere by yourself and you want to meet people, hostel's not a bad idea. Don't stay with 12 people. Stay with like 5. You know, there's.
Because it's all together, right? A hostel, usually it's like a big old room.
Bunk beds or something?
Yeah,
kind of
like that type of, feel. But community. You could stay in a smaller one with less people. And I would recommend that. Just for me personally, I don't like being around a lot of people. So you live and learn. It happened once. Airbnb is really nice too. It's a little more independent, so you might have a host that will help you out and like tell you where things are. You might not, you might have to take the initiative on that. But
was that your first solo trip?
Yeah
mm-hmm. Man, that's like hard for
me. So you only planned out where you're going to stay, but you didn't plan out what you're going to do each day? Or
not really.
So you would just go and find out what
like the locals would be. Yeah, like ask people. Like in Spain, you know, he spoke Spanish, so it was like perfect. Like,
I like that. I like the idea of it, but the anxiety that I get
before that trip. I need to plan everything.
Like on the plane, like, I was having a panic.
I mean, I bet, you know, that not for nothing, but like being a female also plays a big role when you're going to like these unknowns.
Or traveling abroad. Yeah.
My mom could have killed me. I did not tell her for a long time.
She didn't know you were there?
At the time, I was living with her. I'm not anymore. I'm living by myself.
Wait, so you travel while you were living with your mom?
Yes.
And she didn't know?
She had to know. Because, you know, Puerto Rican moms find out everything.
Right.
She was starting to suspect. I was getting sneaky with the she found out. And she's like, we need to, you know. Then she kind of was in on the planning. She's like, you need to stay.
Yeah. I've had those ideas too. I've been wanting to do. I was talking to the other guy that's part of the podcast of La Verdad. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of trips to like Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm. And so dope.
I'm like, man, I really want to go to Dominican Republic or perhaps Cuba, and just be there. Like, go,
beautiful.
Right? Just go and eat where the locals eat, barbecue with them. Mm-hmm. Because we've done the resort thing, which is cool. The resort thing I think is cool when you're really stressed out at work. And you want to have a nice vacation and let them cater to you and feel like you're a king.
Everything's included. But, you know?
I felt like it was different, right? Like I was like, man, I want to get to know the people. I want to jam out with the people. I want to dance. I want to, you know.
Why don't you like all inclusive?
I don't. I've had it. I've done it. One of my best friends, actually, like her adopted mom, who was a teacher of ours in high school, she has like a timeshare and I love it. You know, I've done it before, like through invitation. And I don't know. There's just something so beautiful about like getting to know the culture. Like I'm not sitting here I'm not trying to drink and party with like American people. I see y'all every day. Like I want to get to know the culture. You know, I want to get to know the locals. So I went to Cuba most recently. To Cuba to visit my stepdad's family. He's from Havana, so I had the whole local experience because they were able to show me everything and welcomed me with open arms. I love them so much.
Did you stay with them?
I stayed with them. Yeah.
How was that experience of Cuba? What was your reaction when you went there?
I actually wrote a blog about it. It looked at the connections, you know, between like bomba and like orisha and rumba and like Afro-Caribbean practices. But one of the things about Cuba that was so amazing that I talked about in the blog, I literally quoted like, it's so beautiful and the fact that it was so untouched by Western civilization, you know, colonization is real. Right. You can see it all across the Caribbean and it was so beautiful. So I definitely wanted to like, you know, find out more about the music and the rumba and the orisha, which is deeply connected. And like I talked about, like Santeria a little bit. And you know, a lot of the people that I love that are in Afro-Caribe, you know, I realized that here is my own inner circle of resources that I could utilize. And I never even asked them questions. Yeah. And I was so curious in Cuba. I'm like, why didn't I ask Tito?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I ask my, you know, his wife, Olivia, like all these people that I know. And so I wrote about it and I was very clear. I'm like, you know, this is an outside perspective, you know, second generation Boricua talking about try to do a lot of research. It's probably the hardest blog I had to write because I specifically like talked about like that in reference.
I think we had a similar conversation when I was talking to Otura Moon from Ife. We had a podcast with him and we talked about him immersing himself in Cuba when he went to go study, you know, Santeria out there. And he mentioned how it was so, because he's not of a Latino descent, he's African American, right? So, but when he got into, I think he went in a cruise or something, or was in Puerto Rico, and they were playing rumba, and then some of the santeros were also speaking the language that somebody else was sitting next to him, was like, oh, that's my grandparents' language, right? So it got him connected to the African roots that he was looking for. But he did mention something similar where for them, everyone was kind of santero there in Cuba. So it wasn't like weird to them, or it was just part of their lifestyle, as opposed to like a lot of people here, that's like your religion, right? And then you still have your lifestyle. For them, that is their lifestyle, if that makes sense, right? So every single thing in their life had to do with the orishas or something
Santos,
like that.
Yeah. Like literally they broke down, like, you know, tu eres la hija de Yemaya, like the different, you know, it was beautiful.
And it was so dope when he was mentioning that, because he also got one-on-one connected to his to hit the music, right? Yeah. And that's what they do now. They do that kind of like rumba music, mm-hmm. fusion mm-hmm. style. So I think it's very, as you mentioned earlier, it hasn't been touched so much by Western civilization or what we call, you know, more, it hasn't been Americanized as much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit more of that pure stuff. And I feel like a lot of the people that I've met, a lot of creators, musicians, people that have been going to Cuba lately mm-hmm. have gotten this like awakening when they go there, and this like it's fire beautiful. Build up. Mm-hmm. Music wise, how was it? Like
amazing.
Because I feel like everybody's a musician.
She's like, read my blog.
It was just so, like, the first night, you know, my stepsister picked me up from the airport. You know, we went walking through the town. We went to this, you know, hotel. They were playing salsa outside. I just was like, yeah, let's go. We're dancing. Like, everywhere was a fiesta.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere you go, they're playing rumba. They're playing salsa, you know.
Wow.
It's beautiful. You're playing instruments, you know. Like
one of the coolest things that I've seen in the last, I want to say maybe 8 years, has been the fact that since the embargo was somewhat lifted, mm-hmm. that we've been able now to get a lot of their people coming over here and mm-hmm. us going over there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was watching a podcast the other day, Chente Drach, and he was talking about with an artist from Cuba. They play this style called I think it's like Cuban ton or something like that. It's like reggaeton with salsa together or la timba together. And nobody really knew about it. And it's been around since like the day, like 2005, right? When reggaeton was really popping out here. They had it out there. And it's, you know, the Zona de Gente or Zona de this one Cuban group. So that style of music has been around for such a long time. It's just that there was no connection because they couldn't come over here and we didn't have it. So now it's like starting to like blow up. Yeah. And it's in the same level as Spanish trap, like Latino trap. In the
That's
same,
what
like,
you know about it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have like your Bad Bunny, and then they have their people over there too that are doing like
the side waiting side for that to come.
But what I'm saying is that Cuba has so much to offer, and I'm so happy that now we're able to kind of get a little bit more of that experience.
I did not know about that. News to me.
What about your layout for blogging? I know there might be people listening to the podcast right now that might want to get into the blogging game, right?
Yeah.
What's your layout like? Do you sit there? Do you pre-plan a lot of things, or is it mostly mm-hmm. como salga?
Yeah. I try to pre-plan and like think, and sometimes that just doesn't work. I'm like a last minute person. But I did a lot of research, and I have a cousin who she's in marketing. So she basically printed out a bunch of information when I had the ideas, which was around November, mm-hmm. that I really started thinking like, oh my God. Like epiphany, like this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to talk about like fitness and mm-hmm. inspire women to love themselves and think they're beautiful and like stop competing with everybody and just accept yourself, like, you know, your own inner truths and your own physical appearance and everything. So when that was happening, I was doing research. I'm like, I'm not technically savvy. Like, you could go back from the beginning of my blogs when I have videos that look terrible. I need to go in and fix that, by the way.
leave them. It shows where you came from.
Yeah,
you look at some of our videos, it looks so bad.
Probably because I'm doing it, maybe.
It was started with like a phone. Like we used to record on a phone. But
yeah.
I do not know.
You learn, right?
You learn. It's definitely a learning process. But I was torn between two. After doing my research, I either wanted to use WordPress or Medium.
Oh, okay.
And I bought a domain, not the most expensive one, because I was like, I'm just trying to start and do it. I still haven't figured out, I think WordPress might have changed it, how to get my own website. So mine is www.gorditasway.wordpress.com. I thought buying a domain would get out the WordPress, but I don't think so.
Well, we could help you out with that. I have experience with that.
Or
so
you can, because I'm not the most tech savvy either.
And that's good. And that's great that you brought up. That's great that you brought up WordPress versus Medium. So those that are listening that perhaps are trying to get into blog, and they're probably foreign words to them. Mm-hmm. WordPress and Medium, they're just types out there, like template styles that you can use for your website. Mm-hmm. To put it in Vanessa's terms,
it's like, huh?
You remember MySpace?
Yes.
Right?
We were just talking about it the other day. I love MySpace.
Me too.
Vanessa was a G with MySpace.
I had the little rain thing coming down on my face.
It's very similar. Like WordPress, you can do all those type of effects. And like,
so it gives you the ability to be able to, without all the tech, like you don't have to have all the tech. Like before, people would have to hire people to do the websites. That kind of has it for you. You know, we personally use Squarespace for our site. Yeah, and that has a blogging template on there. So for those trying to get started, basically you need to put your blog out there. So you have a website template that you might use with a URL, which is like what you're trying to get changed to just your name. So a lot of times that's a little bit of an expense that you're probably looking into when you're first getting into blogging or even podcasting, because you got to pay for that site on a monthly basis. So
Well, I bought mine. It was one price for the year.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. So I was like not trying to be paying by the month. I'm like, let me just get this knocked out, invest this little bit in myself. And then
now have you found it hard to like consistently add content on there? Or
no, I think adding the content has been easy. I've slowed down, you know, for, you know, to see if any like engagement and audience would change, but like it's very user friendly. So what I do is, personally, I don't even have Microsoft Word on my laptop. I use Google Docs, and I use Google Docs. I have a folder that's literally Gordita's Way with different, you know, documents about every other week about the topics, and this month happens to be like mental health in the Latinx community. So I'll work from that, and then I paste it. I do my pictures right on there. So I use like an iMovie, like iPhoto editor on my laptop, and just transfer everything into the blog.
Oh, that's dope. And now the whole layout of so for example, some blogs that I've seen out there, they have more of like this magazine type layout, right? Does that make sense? Like, so they'll have like, you know, how magazines will have the picture on the side. You have all these. And you've been studying kind of lately, like your engagement. Have you played around with those layouts? Have you thought about a different, what's more engaging or no?
Well, I did in the beginning, but I don't know. I have the one that I have was very kind of simple, like a red background. I wanted it to be very Puerto Rican. So because it's like Gordita's Way, like coming to you from a perspective of somebody, you know, that grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. So, and there's like a little, I don't even know how to explain it. It moves, like those pictures that move.
Okay, yeah.
So when you click on the link, it's a red background, but it's the Humble Park, like mural, like Puerto Rican flags. Saying, so when you go right on the blog, there's like a picture moving that's indicating like Humble Park right in the middle, and it's a red background. And like the link will just pop up, the latest blog. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's it. And the aspect of going into what you're kind of working on lately, I've seen that you're doing more of the mental health we talked about. What topic in mental health are you really, really trying to focus on right now?
Right now, I'm focusing on self-care. I feel like, you know, as a society, you know, especially hardworking Latinos, you know, we work, and there is no talk about, hey, you have to actually take time out of your schedule to work on yourself, you know, to do things that intentionally make you happy, you know, to de-stress. We're not taught those things. At least I was never taught that stuff. Even being in social services, sometimes even companies don't, you know, are counter public health. Like,
Those are like the most stressful jobs too.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's heavy. So I think it's so important. So basically, although it was fluffy, the last blog was a giveaway, so I still have to announce my winners. Yeah, so basically I wanted to engage the audience more. I did have a couple more comments, so it was basically like, you know, whoever had the most creative self-care hack would be eligible for a prize. I didn't tell people that there's more than one prize, there's three prizes. So I'm announcing the winners tonight.
Little
stuff with self-care. I just talked about like, you know, taking time, you know, to make yourself feel beautiful. So that's when the Aveda consultant, her name is Ms. V, she works at RK Salon. She literally told me, like, I need a model, you know, I'll do your hair and makeup for free. I need this advertised. Dope. Like, and that's, I'm like, let's collaborate. I can't do my hair for nothing. Like, barely could do makeup. So I'm like, yeah, this sounds dope. So the first prize is going to be like a $15 deep condition, you know, at her salon on me. One of my friends who, to me, in my opinion, had like one of the most creative self-care hacks. So it's just whatever, you know, trying to encourage people to take time, you know, even though life gets busy, to really take care of themselves. So it's very much focused on self-care. I don't know where it's going to go this Monday. It's going to get a little deeper. So we might talk more about like mental health issues in the Latino community that are a little hush hush taboo.
So what does your engagement look like, though?
So like on the website, it'll tell me stats like 10 people looked at your blog, you know, 20 people, like in this month you've been getting a lot more views, or you've been getting, I see how many followers I have, but I'm so bad with technology, I don't know how to go individually and like see them individually. So there's still a lot of things that I'm learning. Like I'm just being real, like
tech. And that's the good thing too, is that like I was mentioning earlier, is like nowadays it's become easier for those that are not, that didn't go to school for this particular, like, for example, podcasts have taken your regular, you know, Joe Blow and put them out there to be able to communicate to the world, whereas before you used to have to be in a radio station, right? Or a TV station. Same thing with like bloggers. Before it was like a specific journalist that went to school for this. And now there's so many user-friendly apps and things out there that you could use that it allow you to put your thoughts out there for the world. And I think that's like the coolest thing that has happened, right? Since really sliced bread. So, but I did want to mention on the self-care. That was one of those dad jokes.
Right? It was. It really
and the
was.
Self-care, like I you mentioned, you know, for like, you know, Latinas or women to go get your hair done. For guys, man, like when you go to a barbershop, I feel like a completely different guy. Like it's like
you'll be in there like 4 hours.
I mean, that's like self-care for real, because you get out of the barbershop, you feel like a completely new man. You know, it's like
he's
it's like
therapy. Selfies, like,
it's one of the best things. So like I always tell a lot of the guys that I know, because, you know, men, especially Latino men, I feel, or men of color, don't like to talk about any issues that's happening, right? So, and I usually talk to, like, my closest friends, and I'll be like, yo, like, you know, if you're feeling down or depressed or whatever, like, yo, go to a barbershop. It changes the way you feel. Like, when you get a haircut, you feel, like, you feel clean, right? The guys will be like, oh, I feel clean now. I could go out, et cetera. You know, and it plays a big role. So, like, a lot of times, if you would have asked me that same question maybe like 10 years ago about like self-care, I wouldn't know what that was or what it felt like. Now I kind of have a good idea and I understand that there's different things out there that will change the way you feel that you could do, whether it is cooking a meal as opposed to ordering out, whether it's, I think, you know, like the
traveling by yourself,
traveling
or with your loved ones.
Getting your nails done for girls out. Even guys could get manicures. I need a manicure.
A massage. You should get a pedicure together.
Yeah. Like, I mean, with the little fishes that take the dead skin off.
Use Groupon.
Groupon.
I talk about that all the time.
I'm like,
Groupon.
So I think it's great that you're bringing up these topics. I feel like there's a lot of topics out there that we don't really talk about. I know one topic that we've been trying to get on the show is like a sexual health sex ed person or sex health person, because Latinos don't talk about it at all. It's always hush.
That's
like
huge.
Like, oh no, it's almost out, it's over, you know.
So she was the LGBTQ,
so people that could come in and talk about that, those taboos, like those are topics that I feel like people are not really touching upon too much. They they perhaps are people out there doing it, but it's not being talked about too much, you know. So
it's a lot more quiet.
Yeah, but it's important. Like we were saying, everybody's kind of putting the information out there, but it's important to know like which information is credible, because there are young kids out there that are like looking for these answers, whether it's about sex or mental health, and they're like reaching out. If they are reaching out, it's how do you know what's the right person to go to, or how do you know that you're getting valid information and all that? So I think that'd be a great idea for us to do a topic on that.
And even like a blog behind it. I feel like what you're doing, it's very similar to our work too. And it kind of gives us a good, like I was telling you earlier, like it's nice to feed off of each other.
Absolutely.
Because when we get like a writer's block, or you get a writer's block and we get a podcast block, I don't know how to say it. There's always things that you could perhaps help each other out with. Even out there, those that are
brains.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
There's so many things out there. For example, you know, being that we're in the community here in Mosa Park community and Humboldt Park community, we see so many bomba things going on, right? So we've learned about that.
Bomba is life.
Let's talk a little bit more about bomba, and do you feel like that has helped you with what you're doing now as a blogger?
Absolutely. Like I've referenced Afrocaribe and I've talked about bomba on my blog several times. Like I think for Martin Luther King Week, I talked about like bomba and what it meant to me. And it was around the time where we had like Afrocaribe's holiday party. Mm-hmm. I'm not as active as I'd like to be because of life, but I mean, bomba is literally like medicine for my soul. And I've literally, I think it was bomba, medicina para mi alma, one of the titles. Like it's just so powerful, so spiritual. It connects you to your ancestors. It connects you to your blood. It connects you to everything. And there's just something so powerful about the power of the drums. Like I get goosebumps talking about bomba and what it means. It's so beautiful, and it's so intergenerational. It's so open to everyone.
Yeah.
And the bomba community here in Chicago, I feel like, is very open. It's just is phenomenal. I love it.
And that's great. In the aspect of like the performance behind it, do you feel like it's opened up doors for you in perhaps like when you do blogging, you have to go out and ask people questions or you have to go out and make that connection? Do you feel like it stemmed from you being a performer, I will say, with the bomba scene, or has it just always been like that?
I feel like it definitely has had some sort of influence, even if it was on a subconscious level, because there is a sort of boldness that it requires, you know, to do stuff like that. Definitely it fits into the whole fitness aspect, like non-traditional ways to keep it moving. You go like this with a bomba skirt for 5 minutes and your arms are hurting. Like, it's very physical too. So I definitely have talked about it in both spiritual and like physical components. So, I mean, I feel like it goes hand in hand. Like,
that's great. Now, where do you see your blog going in the next couple of years?
So that's a really good question.
What are your life plans?
So I actually have some stuff in the works right now.
Awesome.
I want to make it into like a business. I would like to do like a clothing line for thicker women. Yeah, so like a yoga clothing line. I'm going to start very small. My brother's already working on like a product and a label that he sent over. So everything is in the works. I kind of have a date in mind, but I don't want to put it out there because I don't want to.
Right.
Once you put it out there, you're holding yourself accountable to that.
Right.
So my goal, I'm not going to say when it is, but it's. So hopefully if everything goes well sooner than later, like hopefully within this year. So I wanted it to be a year of having the blog and then start something.
Yeah.
But it's going to be with a campaign. So I have to get some like camera people already. I'm talking to like videographers and photographers to promote it. So the campaign is going to be Viva Gordita. And I want to talk to everybody and their mama. Like, so I would love to speak to you all like literally about what Gordita means to them. You know, what's their relationship has been around, like, you know, food, fitness, any sort of body shaming and stuff like that. So yeah, I want to make it funny and like get people's attention through like a campaign. So hopefully
that's awesome.
Know, it'll go somewhere.
I do have to say that for a very long time, like for now, I feel like the being a gordito is in, right? Like they even everybody DJ Khaled and
all these people,
they made a song called the Gordo Anthem, man. So I think
he's
being
like,
a gordito with a beard
is your
in.
Song.
Everybody
want
to be gordita now.
Yeah. Right? It was like for a very long time, everybody wanted a guy with a six pack, man. Yeah. Now they want the gordito.
I never wanted that.
Gorditos are winning. So. So if anybody wants to find you on social media, where can they find you at?
So I have my Instagram that is literally gorditas_way. And then I have my Facebook. It's under my name, but Felicita Hernandez. So it's F-E-L-I-C-I-T-A. I have my links and everything in my Facebook and my Instagram. And the blog is www.gorditasway.wordpress.com. So if you go to my Instagram, you could just click right on it and follow and subscribe.
Definitely follow, subscribe, share it. With your networks as well. We're gonna put the links onto the description of this podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be on the links of the YouTube channel as well. Make sure you subscribe if you want more information from our podcast, and whenever we release a video, you can find us on social media under at La Verdad LTD on most of your major platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I was going to say Snapchat, but I feel like Snapchat is dying lately. So. Instagram stories Snapchat. Are where it's at. I want to say thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
If you have anything, if you need any help or anything, I definitely want to open up that conversation between us. Feel free to hit us up, bother us, whatever you want to do to get that content creation going, right? We need that. We need that in the community. And we want to feed off of each other, right?
Absolutely.
So, gracias one more time. Thank you. And everybody watching, peace and God bless.
Yes.